It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse and nutritional counselor, and I'm here today with one of my favorite people, Nancy Palm. And Nancy, would you like to tell our audience what your title is?
Sure. I think people at the office wonder what I do too half the time. Good afternoon, Wendy. It's a great question. I do marketing and writing, and I coordinate the radio show as well as numerous other projects.
So you're the reason we're here.
Oh,
right?
A very, very small part of it. No, I think Dar is the reason we're here, to be honest with you. I handle our corporate and group sales and work with other business partners that we have and just do a myriad of other miscellaneous things for nutritional weight and wellness.
Great. It's great to have you here, Nancy.
Thank you.
And I want to thank all of our listeners today, too, for listening to the show. And I would encourage you to get out a pen and a paper, as we have many tips for you today. This show actually could change your life. We have had many listeners that have not only changed their own lives, but by listening to our show, they've changed the lives of their family, their relatives, their friends, and their coworkers. So we want people to know that this is the power of real food. This is the power of the conversation that we put together every week. Nancy and I are both here because food has changed our lives, right, Nancy?
Absolutely. In January of 2000, I went to see Darlene Kvist for help with something that I'd been unable to resolve on my own. I developed chronic fatigue syndrome several years ago, and that means different things. There's quite a spectrum, but in my case, I would describe it as being a cross between mononucleosis, that level of debilitating fatigue that I had as a teenager, and the flu that we all know and hate. And after being on disability for 12 years, I went to Darlene and I said, do you really think nutrition could make a difference? And she said, absolutely. And I said, well, I want my life back. And what I wanted was energy. But what she taught me, Wendy, was that it's not quite as simple as that. I had to rebuild my body.
Right.
Sort of one layer at a time. First, I had to get my digestion back on track so I could get the nutrients from the foods I was eating. And
right.
Then balance my blood sugar so my energy wasn't up and down and up and down. And slowly and gradually, my energy and my focus and my creativity started to come back. So it was a process, but eating very diligently and being very careful about what I put in my body changed my life to the point where I am off disability.
Yes,
have
you
been
are.
For a few years. I'm working again and...
And look at how
terrific.
Vibrant and healthy. We know you were just at yoga this morning, you do yoga 3 times a week and then class, so that's 4 times a week, and here you are. And even when you look at that, and you kept saying, there were steps I needed to put in place, there were things I needed to do, but at the same time, we're looking at a 12-year illness.
Oh, and actually, it was 16 that I was on disability.
16.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
And then you came to see Dar in 2000, and now it's 2007, and you've been off disability for a few years.
So it's pretty fast, when you look at it that way.
Exactly. So I like to look at it that way.
I do, too.
So, and I know when I embraced weight and wellness and started doing many of the things that you did too, Nancy, I was suffering from gastric reflux disease so bad that I was sleeping on 9 pillows.
Oh.
It wasn't fun. I was 55 pounds heavier than I am now, and I was totally, totally addicted to sugar. My life really was run by cravings, which brings us to our topic today, sugar cravings.
Well, and many of us do crave sugar. And we think it's because we don't have willpower or self-discipline, so we beat ourselves up about it every time we eat something that's sweet, ice cream, a candy bar, and then the guilt sets in, and so we have another one to make,
us feel better.
And it becomes a vicious cycle.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can relate to that. Well, we're going to look today at the reality of sugar and how harmful it truly is for us. Is sugar addicting? We know for 75% of the population that are insulin sensitive, sugar is very addicting.
So for some of our listeners, if you're someone who can't eat one Oreo cookie, maybe one brownie or one piece of licorice, you might be in that 75%.
I want to dig a little deeper today too, Nancy, and actually look at the makeup of sugar to see why it is so addicting and why it is so harmful for us. We know that for years, Candace Pert, who studied cell receptors, she was a scientist way ahead of her time and started studying cell receptors in the early 70s. But when she looked at what sugar does to the cells and everything, because she was actually looking at people's brains to see why they become addicted, she actually compares sugar to heroin for its addictive properties. I always thought that was a little over the top until I started doing research for the show. And this is what I found. Dr. David Rubin, author of Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Nutrition, says that white refined sugar is not food. It is a pure chemical extracted from plant sources, purer, in fact, than cocaine, which, he says, it resembles in many ways. Then he goes on to actually show the molecular structure of sugar and compares it with cocaine, and we find that the difference between sugar and cocaine is one tiny nitrogen atom. Isn't that interesting?
It's fascinating because I think people not only think of it as a food, but as its own food group.
Oh, almost. Exactly. The number one food group.
It's such an integral part of so many people's diets. And I know one of our goals today is to get people unhooked from blaming themselves and judging themselves because they can't control eating sugar. And to see that sugar, in fact, is addicting, that it sets off a biochemical response in our bodies. And that response leaves us craving more and more sugar.
More Oreo cookies.
More licorice.
More Hershey's
ice cream,
kisses.
Whatever it might be.
So we want you to hear this loud and clear. It is not your fault. It's not because you're weak or you lack willpower. Sugar is actually addictive for many of us. One molecule, one atom away from cocaine. I have never had cocaine, but I understand it's highly addictive.
So what do we do? What do we do about it when we know that sugar is as habit-forming as any narcotic and is harmful to our health? And our food is full of this, especially high fructose corn syrup. That's one of the most evil things that's in our food supply right now. And we find it where? Soda.
Absolutely.
The average teenage boy drinks 3.5 cans of soda today. In our bodies, that turns into 38 teaspoons of sugar. And we know from research and studies that have been done that, in fact, all our bodies really need or want is about 2 to 4 teaspoons per day. So we're overloading our bodies.
And that's just the soda. We haven't talked about the chips and the big, huge pretzels and things like that. Well, Nancy, it seems obvious that we need to get the sugar out of our diets, of our eating plan. And at this point, you might be just as startled as one of my ladies in my diabetic class that looked at me when I said, we need to stop eating sugar. And she actually said, she was like a deer in the headlights, and she said, what am I going to eat?
I told you it's a food group, Wendy.
So I think it's kind of sad that sugar has no food value whatsoever, and we don't know what to eat if we don't eat sugar. Nancy, did you know we actually have people eating huge Kit Kat candy bars and quarts of Mountain Dew and calling that breakfast?
You know, when my husband and I were traveling recently, we'd stop for gasoline and see people come out, and it'd be 8 in the morning with the bag of chips or the box of donuts and a huge, one of those big gulp kind of containers of soda. Oh. And I would just, my stomach would just reel at the thought of that at 8 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
It's revolting.
Exactly. My other favorite is a package of cookies and a bag of chips for dinner.
Ooh, there's a combination.
And this actually is one of my clients who was overweight. And she was complaining because her sister was so skinny. And that's what her sister ate for dinner every evening. Now, we're not making this up. This is really happening.
Oh, my Well, I think it's pretty sobering when you
It
think
is.
about the impact on the body when not only is there no nutritional value, but it's in fact creating a deficit, a nutrient deficit in our bodies. So that's the bad news. And we kind of all know, I think we need to get the sugar up. But what can we eat? And how do you get rid of those cravings and the low energy that comes when your blood sugar has dropped from having sugar? So where do you start, Whitney?
Where do you start? Well, we want you to start by eating balanced meals. And this is what you and I both did when we started. And we need protein. We need healthy meats, eggs, cheese. We need healthy fats, the good fats, the real fats, not processed fats. And we need good carbohydrates. What we need are vegetables and fruits. And when we eat every 3 hours in balance, our energy is amazing. And I was actually amazed at how I had no cravings. I had no cravings. And so that's what you do.
You do. And when your body is balanced, when you're satisfied from getting the nutrients you need, it really makes a difference because you don't have those cravings.
Great. We actually have, oh, okay, I thought so. So we will introduce our guest when we get back. It's time to take a break. We'll be right back with Dishing Up Nutrition. If you have any questions about sugar or cravings, please give us a call at 651-641-1071.
You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Sugar, sugar. What is your favorite sweet indulgence? Brownies? Pastries? Cookies? Frappuccinos? Anything chocolate? We all enjoy a treat, but if you treat every day like Halloween, perhaps it's time to rein in that sweet tooth. Research shows that cravings have biochemical origins. That's right. They're not just sugar lust. The solution? Get to the source. Luckily, we don't have to do this alone. The friendly staff at Nutritional Weight and Wellness has worked with hundreds of people who wanted to break their sugar habits, eat healthier, and feel better. Sugar saps your energy, weakens your immune system, and is highly addictive. We have all seen how sugar affects children, but adults get hooked just as easily. Others rely on artificial sweeteners that are full of chemicals, believing those substitutes are healthier than sugar. Before you refill that candy dish, pick up the phone and find out how Nutritional Weight and Wellness can help you eliminate your sugar cravings. Imagine eating in a way that leaves you satisfied, gives you more energy, and a trimmer waistline. Office is conveniently located in St. Paul, Wayzata, and White Bear Lake.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stancer, RN and nutrition counselor. I'm here with Nancy Palm, project manager for Nutritional Weight and Wellness. And we are talking about sugar cravings. If you have any questions about sugar or cravings, please give us a call at 651-641-1071. And we actually have a wonderful return guest that has made a huge impact on her whole family, including her autistic son, by eating the Weight and Wellness way. Her name is Deb Reeves. Deb, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Wendy.
I know from our talk before the show that you are a baby boomer and grew up on sugar. Is that right?
Oh, boy, that is correct, Wendy. As a baby boomer, I made every nutritional blunder there is. I was brought up on sugar. Kool-Aid and Pop were a staple in my home. And because I didn't care for milk, here I was raised on a farm, mind you, I consumed sugar beverages with every meal. And every holiday was surrounded by sugar, especially Easter and Halloween. And I can remember as a child eating all that candy and very little else until it was gone. And I even back then, I can remember mothers dipping pacifiers into sugar for their babies.
I remember that, too.
Yeah. And I turned into a vegetarian as a teen and almost relied solely on carbs, especially the bad ones. And then as a parent, I didn't break that pattern and continued to feed my family sugar. I remember always feeling moody and tired. I wish I knew back then what I know now. This would have made such a huge impact on my life.
So when you say moody and tired, how was that? How did that affect your life?
Well, you know, Wendy, I always dreamed of teaching at a college. I always dreamed of being a professor. I could barely muster the energy to get out of bed and go to school. And school always came very easy for me. So I feel, boy, if I had known what I know now, I'd be retired.
And you'd be a professor.
And I'd be a professor.
Retired professor.
There we go. There we go.
Well, Deb, you have a family of six and you have four kids, and doing it for yourself is one thing, but doing it for your family is something else altogether. Was it hard for you to get the sugar out of your diet, let alone your family's?
Oh, yeah, and because I waited till the children were older and we had already set ourselves in a pattern of eating sugar, it was harder. But once I learned from Weight and Wellness the effects of sugar, I had no choice as a parent.
So tell us how you did that with your kids and your family. What did you change?
Well, after taking the course and learning just how bad sugar was, I started pulling away the worst foods. And the first culprit to go was pop, and then cookies, and then cereal, and gradually replacing them with more natural food for my family.
So what did you replace the cereal with?
Well, the kids have a choice in the morning. They can have a protein drink, and they have lots of options to mix it with, bananas, fruit, and things like that, or they get eggs. That's their choice in the morning.
Okay, so they get to choose between two things.
Right, and you know...
Two healthy things.
And they've not said, gee, Mom, I want that cereal anymore. I think that their bodies have just adjusted, and they're looking stronger, they're feeling stronger. As a matter of fact, I had my 9-year-old back for a checkup, and she goes, boy, you have a healthy child. He's never here very often. And I said, and he's even going to be healthier. He just shaved off 2 minutes off his mile run from school, and I solely attribute that to his start in the morning.
Awesome.
Wow. That's
great.
Impressive. And I think even more, you have a special needs child, Deb. Would you tell our listeners what a difference it's made in changing his diet for your autistic son?
Certainly. I never realized just how much sugar I was giving my son. And my son is a large child. I mean, a tall child. He's almost 6'4". So breakfast for him was consuming many bowls of cereal, not just one. So I equate this to this poor child. He's like this little flame, and I'm throwing gasoline at him, and okay, have a good day at school.
This huge
flame. I mean, it's like an inferno sending him out that door. And then my husband and I are getting email, page-long email of behavior, behavior, behavior. And it's like, oh, Larry, what are we going to do? And so when we changed the sugar and we gave him the option of eggs or protein drink, a couple weeks went by, and it's like, no emails. Is the computer broke? You know, what's going on here? I don't see any emails. And so we didn't want to, you know, jinx ourselves, waited longer and longer. And the emails of behaviors which were happening daily have been replaced with, well, his book bag's messy. Yeah, you know, things like that. And we are just elated. And, you know, I just wish I knew this information before I even had children. But it's not too late. I mean, we're making these changes, and we're seeing.
I thought you were going to say we're making children.
Oh, my God. Oh, Wendy, at my age, I take the bridge.
Speak for yourselves, ladies.
No. I'm in my 50s.
We're making more. Don't worry.
I'm in my 50s. I don't need to be in any Guinness Book of Record at this age. No.
Sugar or no sugar, right?
Yep, 4 is plenty. I'm very happy with my 4 children.
Okay, great. Well, we actually have a couple of callers on the line, so let's, I'm trying to push the wrong button here. Carol?
Yes?
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Thank you. My question was, is eating brown sugar, like when you're baking, as bad for you as the white sugar?
Well, actually, it is, unfortunately. The brown sugar that we have now is, it's really refined white sugar with a little brown food coloring or molasses added to it. So it's really not any better for us, Carol, than the actual white refined sugar.
So if I bake things, what do I use for the sweetener?
Well, there are several things that you can use for a sweetener. What are you talking about, a cake or muffins or?
Cookies.
Cookies. Well, one of the things, and what kind of cookies?
Peanut butter, chocolate chip, sorghum.
Okay. Deb, you have a tip?
You know, I just bought some Way Low, and it is wonderful in baking. As a matter of fact, my baking has decreased, but when I do, I want to make sure that I'm putting decent and good ingredients in it. And the Way Low product that I found comes in both granulated and brown sugar. The kids came by and took a little of the cookie dough and couldn't tell the taste, couldn't tell the difference. The texture is a little bit different, but the taste is very good.
And now, go ahead, Nancy.
I was going to say, Carol, this is Nancy. Way Low, it's whey as in W-H-E-Y, which is the protein from dairy. And it's relatively new on the market, but...
The glycemic index, you know, when you look at the glycemic load, it's only like a quarter of what what sugar actually is. So you're getting a lot less sugar. But you can also do things like natural things, like putting in, I was hoping you'd say like oatmeal cookies, because then we could put in
oatmeal cookies.
You know, put in a few more raisins or some craisins, things like that. Nuts actually have their own sweetener. Using coconut oil in your cooking adds another nice sweetener. And then we also have an herb that we recommend, and that's called stevia, S-T-E-V-I-A.
Okay.
Or you could use some vegetable glycerin, which is a sweetener from coconut. So those kind of things. And a lot of times if you just half the sugar, your stuff tastes great.
Okay.
So.
Just use less.
Yeah. Does that help, Carol?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Bye.
Have a good day. It's time to take another break. We'll be right back with Dishing Up Nutrition.
Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Congratulations! It's a new addition. A beautiful new office. The nutrition experts at Nutritional Weight and Wellness have helped thousands of people make healthy, even life-altering changes in the way that they eat and the way that they feel. And now it's more convenient than ever to tap into their expertise. Nutritional Weight and Wellness opens a third location on February 5th, located in beautiful White Bear Lake. Go Bears! Just like at the offices in St. Paul and Wayzata, this office will be a place for individual nutrition consultations and for nutrition classes. Stop in and visit the newest office on Linden Avenue, just off County Road E, a few blocks east of Highway 61. If you live in the North Metro, here's one more reason to work with Nutritional Weight and Wellness. They're smart, helpful, provide great motivation, and now they're convenient, too. Find out more about the consultation and classes in St. Paul, Wayzata, and in White Bear Lake at their website. It's weightandwellness.com for the nutrition experts at Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
I wish nothing but the best for you both.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stancer, RN and nutrition counselor. I'm here with Nancy Palm, project manager for Nutritional Weight and Wellness, and Deb Reeves, who is actually a hospice nurse, mother, and wife. And we are talking about sugar cravings. If you have questions about sugar or sugar cravings, are experiencing them, please give us a call at 651-641-1071. And I know, Deb, that when we were chatting before, that you had talked about how sugar impacted you as a baby boomer. And I'm sure many, many people fall into that category, and that you wanted to be a professor and you just didn't even have the energy to even get out of bed. So, and I know that you sent Larry to class and you were so concerned about your family and getting them healthy, but what impact did taking the sugar out of your diet, out of your eating plan, have for you?
Well, you know, Nancy, the problem was my husband was so sick, and so I was so concerned about him, but
because you're a perfect nurse.
Well, but
in a good way.
Caretaker. I didn't have any health issues per se. I was overweight, carried some extra baggage, but my lab values were okay. So I equated that, you know, they're okay, I'm fine. I didn't think about, gee, I'm always tired, I'm a little moody. And when I took Larry...
Now,
Larry,
was that your perception or your family's perception, the little moody? I'm just teasing. I always ask when someone else comes in and the husband is there. Okay, yeah.
Oh, at this perimenopause of state, what a question. So I didn't think I had a problem. I think that you know, I was raised fine, and I just didn't equate my nutrition. I just thought, this is how I was. You know, but when I took the Jump Start Your Metabolism course, I learned a lot there, and I promised myself I'd take the 6-week course. So in the 6-week course, I truly got all the puzzle pieces came together, and I went, oh my God, I got to fix myself. I've got to pull the sugar away from me. And I can't tell you how much better I feel. I can't tell you the vitality. You can tell by my house. If my house is clean, I feel pretty good. And I got to tell you, I have a happy husband and a very clean house.
All right. Great.
And I don't think our listeners would ever guess, Deb, that you worked all night last night. Deb's a hospice nurse, and she came in
the middle of her night.
Middle of her night to be with us here today.
I might not have been able to do this a year ago. I might not have been able to do this without replacing all the bad food I was eating and eating whole natural good foods. I just can't even. I mean, it's night and day. I feel like I was 16 years old.
And you look it too.
Yes, I knew you were going there. I knew you were going there. Yes, I'm not as young as I look.
What a great thing to say. Yeah, I love it. Absolutely. I love it. Well, we actually have a caller on the line. Tracy?
Yeah.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Yeah, thank you.
And did you have a question for us?
Well, I'm interested in finding out how to get over the cravings or wondering how do I tell if it's actually a craving or just that I'm so used to eating something.
Well, that's a really good question. So let's just talk about what shows up. Like what are you having a concern about? Is it chocolate or donuts?
No, I don't think I have anything in particular. I just like to eat a lot. I mean, I just want to eat continuously, and I do have a pattern of eating a lot of popcorn at night and liking to eat ice cream at night and liking to eat chips and, lots of Ritz crackers and just bad stuff.
Yeah.
And my kids do too. And my sister just took, I don't know which class it was, but a 6-week class there, and she is just raving about it. And I have to take the class because she's lost so much weight. She feels so good. She's sleeping better. Her skin looks better. She's like a new person.
It's amazing, isn't it?
She never wanted to exercise. She always would be like, let's get dessert, let's get more, always. I always attributed my problem because I always hung around with her, and now it's...
Oh, now you can't blame her anymore.
Nope, all my fault now.
So I think my own definition of a craving would be that you can't just eat one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so craving is probably wanting more than one of something.
Exactly.
I mean, I just feel
like
hungry.
If you could just have one.
I need to eat,
Right, and Tracy, the things that you're talking about eating are exactly the things that. They turn into sugar. They have sugar in them, turn into sugar very quickly in our bloodstream. And it's like that addiction.
Right.
And so you do want more.
Right.
And so, yeah.
And I have a son who's ADD.
Uh-huh.
And my sister's like, there's a lot to that could be, maybe symptoms of the food he's eating, not just, that problem, but the food could be contributing to some of what's going on with him,
And that's exactly what I saw with my son.
Yeah,
once he started on the better foods, and I was making choices, giving him choices, but I put better food in the home, that his behaviors just plummeted. It's amazing.
Now, was he hyperactive too, Deb?
Not really, but autism is just its own entity.
It's not quite the same as ADD.
No, not quite the same.
Yeah.
Well, and Tracy, one of the other things that you mentioned that struck a chord when you said you were hungry all the time, are you eating low fat?
Sometimes. I'm very aware of the fattening foods, I think, and I was a Weight Watchers person and have tried to stay on that now I'm just having trouble with sticking to it, I do eat a lot of low-fat stuff, and I've heard that that's not necessarily the way to go either.
Usually, when the fat is removed from our food, what's increased is the sugar content. And when fat is what keeps us satisfied and full. So if we don't have enough fat in our diet, we're likely, and I mean healthy fat, olive oil, butter, olives, nuts, that kind of thing, then you are likely to feel never fully satisfied and get hungrier faster. And so you want to either eat more or eat all the time because you never really are taking care of that hunger in terms of the nutrients your body needs. So that would be another big piece to look at.
Yeah, don't necessarily go low fat because that's probably...
No, right. Your body needs, every cell in your body needs fat to function properly, especially your brain.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing, Tracy, that I'm thinking of, since this eating and seems to happen in the evening, is you need to make sure that you have enough calories in the beginning of the day, a good breakfast, a good lunch, you know, good dinner. Because
right.
oftentimes...
I kind of tend to eat more late in the day and not so much earlier in the day.
Too. Right. Well,
so
your body is trying to play catch up.
Yep. That's probably a problem for me.
Okay. Well, we'll see you, I guess, at our next class.
I need
right?
to sign up.
Okay. Okay, Tracy.
You'll be glad you did.
Thank you
bye.
For calling.
Bye.
It's time to take another break. We are discussing sugar and sugar cravings. If you have any questions, please give us a call, 651-641-1071, and we'll be right back with Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hey, want to go for a bike ride this weekend?
No, thanks. I'm exhausted. Work never lets up, and I lay awake thinking about what I have to do the next day. By Saturday, all I want to do is read or watch movies.
What happened to my biking partner? Do I need to find a new one?
Maybe I need what you're taking. How do you find the energy?
Nutrition.
Yeah, right.
I'm serious. You can't believe the difference changing my eating has made. I used to be dragging by Friday, too. Then I went to Nutritional Weight and Wellness for a personal consultation. They set up an eating plan for me with a variety of real foods, none of those canned shakes, rice cakes, or frozen mini dinners. I eat chicken, salmon, steak, eggs, asparagus, wild rice, real butter, and berries and cream. I get plenty to eat. I feel great. I have no more heartburn. I even have better moods.
So food is the answer to my fatigue and insomnia? It can't be that simple.
It was for me. You should call them. I'm glad I did. Their number is 651-699-3438 or visit their website at weightandwellness.com.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse and nutrition counselor. I'm here with Nancy Palm, project manager for Nutritional Weight and Wellness, and Deb Reeves, who's a hospice nurse. And we've been having a wonderful chat about sugar and sugar cravings, and we know we have a lot of people on the line, so we are going to jump right in with taking phone calls. Natalie?
Yes.
Hi, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Thank you.
Did you have a question for us?
I did. You were talking about protein shake in the morning. What's a good example of a protein shake?
That would be 100% whey protein is what we recommend.
And
okay.
Why don't you give them a recipe? Do you know it?
Well, I like mine mixed with water because I'm not a big milk drinker.
Oh, that's right. You don't drink milk.
Yeah, and my family likes theirs mixed with milk. And many times now that it's summer, we'll throw in some ice cubes, maybe half a banana or fruit, whatever we have. The other night, we had a chocolate craving, and so I had some unsweetened chocolate, threw a little bit extra in with an ice cube, and I was in heaven.
All right. Great.
Oh, so good.
I think we have a great recipe on our website for a protein shake with whey protein and yogurt.
Yeah, one cup. It's one cup of whole milk, plain yogurt.
Yep.
One cup of fresh or frozen fruit.
Okay.
1/4 cup of coconut milk, and that's our fat.
Okay.
And then 1 scoop of whey protein powder.
Okay. Now, the yogurt, there's a lot of sugar in yogurt, right? So would that matter,
Well,
the sugar content of
yogurt?
Yeah,
that's why we want you to get whole milk, plain yogurt.
Oh, okay.
If it's plain yogurt, that's a perfect food. It's got 9 grams of fat, 9 grams of protein, 13 grams of sugar.
Okay.
Once you get the vanilla or the strawberry or something like that, the sugar goes way up to 30-some grams. But you want the plain.
Okay.
And then we'll add our own delicious berries with all the antioxidants.
Right, right. Well, great. That sounds perfect.
Okay, Natalie. Enjoy.
Bye. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Joanne?
Yes.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hi. I have a real problem with sugar cravings late at night. And get them even if I eat balanced throughout the day. So I'm wondering, what should I eat at night when I'm waking up with these sugar cravings?
What time of night are you waking up?
11, 12.
Okay, so you actually are in bed.
Yeah.
And you wake up.
And wake up, and I used to grab cookies and eat, you know, a package of cookies or a package of cookies. And last night I got the natural peanut butter out because that's all I had in the house.
Otherwise, it would have been a cookie.
Right. Right. It would have been lots of cookies.
Oh, I got it. So are you eating a bedtime snack before
no.
you go to bed?
No, I eat no, anything after dinner, because I go to bed pretty early, around 7 or 8.
Oh, okay. What are you eating for dinner?
Well, I try to have protein, like I have that Barilla Plus pasta with meatballs and fresh tomatoes. That's what I had last night.
And what fat do you have with that? Do you have some olive oil?
Yeah,
or
olive oil.
Because this is Nancy talking. I have a snack before I go to bed because that helps me to sleep more soundly. And what I will have is, you mentioned the natural peanut butter, which is great, with maybe an apple. Or I actually, right now, there are some great nectarines in the store. I'll have some fruit with real cream, real heavy cream. And the fat in that holds me. It keeps me full through the night and very satisfied. And so maybe even a little bit of that at the end of your dinner would help you to sleep.
Okay.
And what time do you eat dinner, Joanne?
I usually eat around 5.
About 5. Yeah. So, you know, if you have that, like berries and cream, or an apple with a tablespoon of peanut butter, you know, a few minutes before you go to bed, and see if that doesn't help.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
It's time for us to take another break. We'll be right back with Dishing Up Nutrition. Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse and nutrition counselor. I'm here with Nancy Palm, our project manager at Nutritional Weight and Wellness, and Deb Reeves, hospice nurse. And we're talking about sugar cravings. And Deb, before we got a little sidetracked, but one of the huge things that we wanted you to do on the show, because we want people to know that this can be done. It can be done to take the sugar out of your diet and the way you eat. And we all know that it made such an impact for all of us. But let's get practical now. And I tell people, it's like, how did you do that? Can you give them some tips?
Oh, I certainly can, Wendy. Wendy, the first thing, and I think the most important thing, is leave your kids at home when you grocery shop. they don't buy the food. I mean, they don't spend their money. It's my choices. But when you have a child there, it's, Mom, I want this, I want this. Then the boxes are so brightly colored and their favorite cartoon.
And there
characters
might be a treat
them.
In there. Or
absolutely. So when you don't bring your children, you don't have the distraction and you're able to make the better choices. The kids can only bring what I eat, what I bring home.
Does that go for husbands, too?
Oh, my goodness. Larry, you know, it's kind of funny because we have two carts. We start off, and Larry tries to get to the checkout first. Because as soon as the food police gets there, it's like, oh, no. So, I mean, he's always tries to get up there first. So, yeah, husbands at home, that's another that's another one. Another thing I did was that I used to serve like a rice mix or a potato or something with dinner. And I pulled away the breads and the rice mixes and the noodle mixes, and I add more fruits and vegetables. So the kids really haven't noticed because they're seeing more food and more colorful food. So that's worked very, very well for me. When we go out to eat, I tell the children in the car that there is no pop. Your beverage choice is milk, water, or unsweetened tea. And I set their expectations so that they know what to expect. And before going to the theater, I feed my kids. I mean, we've turned into an eating nation.
We have to eat everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can't sit and enjoy a movie for 2 hours without continually eating. And so we eat before then. Another thing I do is I used to bake lots of cookies. Now, when I do, it's one small batch. When it's gone, it's gone. Because it's like, well, let's have a surplus. So if you want 15 cookies, you can have them. And that's not the case in my house anymore. We have a lot more fresh fruit. And a lot of times we do what Nancy does is we put cream with it. And it's delicious. And fruit juice is gone, too. It's just too much sugar. So occasionally when in breakfast, I'll squeeze the juice myself, keeping the pulp in for the fiber. But I encourage the kids to eat the fruit so that they get the fiber and all the nutrients from the fruit.
Yeah, that's where all our bioflavonoids are in the the pulp and stuff that's in the juice. So.
Exactly. You know, as a parent, I'm trying to do the right thing, and I'm trying to take the lead. And I have a new grandbaby, and so it's like, no, give her water with her meals. Water with her meals. She doesn't need juice. They're gonna love juice. It's sweet. Let's get your body used to liking water.
Excellent. I like the way you said that and the emphasis, right?
Absolutely.
So, Anne, we have one more caller. Anne, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hi there.
Hi. How are you?
Well, I am great. I'm great. I have, I just am.
Say, I have a question. Is this Anne Reed of the St. Paul Reeds?
It is.
All right. Super. I thought I recognized your voice.
I thought I have to call in. I have too many questions, but I know I can have a private audience.
Yeah.
I have to say, I'm just coming back from buying fresh bison meat because I was inspired thinking, okay, I seriously have to get more protein. And I was in Wisconsin over in that area. And so I stopped, so I missed a little piece of the show. But I was just, my question, which is probably not a great question, but I know I should be eating more protein to cut my cravings.
Yes.
So my first solution was, okay, I was in an organic dairy section of one of the stores, and I just bought just a pack of cheese sticks. I mean, just like, I don't know, 50 of them or something.
Okay.
And I think in the last, you know, month, I've eaten them all.
Uh-huh.
But I, you know, so I'll just like throw some in my purse or have some, you know, and just because they're organic, you know, and just because they're protein, I'm thinking I probably need to do something really different than that.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, we are big fans of cheese, but one of the things about cheese, Anne, is we can really overdo cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing that people overeat, as well as nuts. So you kind of have to measure those things out, and like a quarter cup of nuts with your cheese. And then a small piece of fruit.
Okay.
And then you have the balance of your protein, your healthy carbohydrate, and your fat.
Okay, because I was going to, and I was listening to Deb talk about eating before you go out, eating before you go. And that's, I wish I'd done that last night because I went to a fundraiser, which I did not realize was only wine and cheese.
And the more wine, the more cheese, right?
I drank water. They also had bottled water. So I drank bottled water, which was fine. But, you know, I probably could have eaten just like the one whole cheese table. It was just ridiculous. But, you know, there was a lot of people there, so of course I didn't. But the whole idea of, I know that I just thought that was like, okay, I think, okay, well, I can just eat cheese and then I'll be healthy. No.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that you're one of those people that needs to limit the cheese, Anne. So, yep. So we're almost out of time. So thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. So we're out of time, and we just want you to remember that real food is the magic within you. Be here next week for Dishing Up Nutrition.